Awesome Fishing Radio would like to thank our sponsors, Andy Thornell Company, Costa Del Mar Sunglasses, Malibu Kayaks, Mudhole, Rolls Axle, and Hookup Lures.
And welcome to Awesome Fishing Radio. How you doing, Alan?
Hey, Captain Keelan. I'm doing great. Doing great.
I tell you what, man. It is so good to be back on the air, and this is just great. One of the things we really wanted to talk about on this show was Bass Pro does a lot of stuff with us at Awesome Fishing Radio, and they're having their spring classic. And what I wanted to do was us get hold of Captain Keith Koplosch. And I hope I pronounced that right. Was that okay, Keith?
You bet. That was good, Keelan.
Excellent.
but
this, most just is, go Captain Keith, and that's it.
Yeah, that's the best way to go. But anyhow, I know that you have been up the last couple weeks at Bass Pro. They've had a lot of their professional pros like you up there, and I've had y'all teaching seminars and things like that. And that's about a 3-week venture there that they do every year, and some of the best buys that you would ever get at that time of year, getting everybody ready for the springtime as far as fishing and I think even turkey hunting stuff, if I'm not mistaken.
I think and I was there last weekend. It really runs over 3 weekends. And so it's like 2 weeks in the sale running over 3 weekends. And the first weekend is kind of a more general thing. And then this last weekend with their pro staff was in, and I was of course in there doing saltwater seminars. And then this weekend, I think it's more of the vendors and media guys. So, you know, there'll be a lot going on this weekend too.
Yeah. Well, I know that they've got a lot of people scheduled to be up there, and I tell you, I love it when they have it, because there's all, you know, it always has some special good deals, and I've been sitting back thinking, you know what, I should have waited to get my depth finder that I bought there right after Christmas. I should have waited, because I probably would have got a good deal on it.
So, yeah, I tell you, one of the things I know people are really stocking up on is oil. They got some great oil deals there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all kinds of, you know, rods, reels. I mean, just, you know, one of the things that some people were confused at is that the reel trade-in, that was only the first weekend. So, you know, folks that aren't bringing in old reels now, they're not getting the trade-ins. Just wait till next year.
Well, I'm glad you let me know, because I was going to take an old reel to them. So, I already had one picked out, old zip code 202 that I found in the bottom of the barrel. But, because I'd already had my eye on a new reel. I was watching that thing. And it was a good deal. So, but anyhow, did you pick up any good deals when you were there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's some of the new reels, too. You can see some of the new reels are coming out for this year. There's some great ones. Even some of the Bass Pro Shop branded stuff, the new ones they have out this year are some of the best ones I've seen them ever have. Some of the new finishes and stuff that they're coming out this year are just, you know, I think they're going to be much better than a lot of the reels we've had in the past in the saltwater like we have to deal with. They're going to be really good. But a lot of the companies coming out with really great stuff this year, and it's worth taking a look at, and I'm finding them pretty reasonable too.
Really? Well, I've heard a couple of the captains talking about some really good deals up there, and everyone that had talked about reels, so it's going to be interesting to see what all kinds of deals they do have, because, you know, they send out those sales flyers, but that always never really does it justice for the, you know, I guess they couldn't put everything that's on sale in that magazine, because they'd have a daggum catalog then.
Yeah, also, one of the things I noticed people when I was over there this weekend is they were hitting the apparel area really hard. In other words, they were, you know, they'd take a look at all the reels we do fishing, but then in the apparel area, they're kind of getting ready for, some of them were, you know, technical shirts, fishing shirts, things like that, and some of them were more just fun shirts, T-shirts, and, you know, cool shirts to wear. Now, I also noticed, just by the way, an inside thing for those people that are watching the show, is upstairs, up on the mezzanine, they have a clearance area that was spectacular. I got a couple of shirts up there that were just great deals, like nice technical shirts for like $12.
Oh, man.
And so, you know, you know, those people that are listening, they can kind of get a little inside scoop there. Go up, make sure you check the clearance area before you leave the store.
Man, I tell you what, that sounds good. Well, you know, Keith, one of the things I wanted to talk with you about is, how is fishing over on the East Coast?
Fishing good. This week I haven't fished. I didn't fish yesterday or today, and it worked out very well because we had weather. But I was out there the earlier part, you know, the early part of the week, and it was good. For example, Monday I had this couple, this young couple. She was from West Virginia, had never been on a boat ever in her life, and she let me know she's scared of fish. But we went out and had a great time. In fact, she caught both redfish and drum on lures herself, having cast them herself and worked the lure herself and caught them herself. So it was pretty cool.
What did you catch the drum on and what lure?
They were the hookup jigs. They have a skimmer jig that a weedless bucktail is what it is. And we were fishing those weedless bucktails, and we got this last week I had redfish, trout, and drum all on the bucktails.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of nice because the pufferfish don't eat them up as bad as they do a rubber
uh-huh.
bait.
That's cool. Uh-huh.
And I really like them.
Some of those jigs. Yeah.
Well, you need to fish them. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing. It used to be that a lot of people would fish what we used to call skimmer jigs. It's the same kind of thing. And we would do it a lot for down in the Keys, for bonefish, permit, those kind of things. And of course, hookup lures was Hank Brown was one who designed them down in the Keys, down in Isla Mirada. And they were, you know, very popular. Well, for some reason, as you moved north, they got less popular, even though they're every bit as effective. And you think about one of those little jigs, especially you get a little dark one, it looks just like a crab hopping along the bottom or shrimp. And it's, you know, with a weedless little belt, it'll have two little monofilament arms that come up to help keep it weedless. Man, they were great.
I love fishing bucktail jigs. And the way that they do them now for shallow water is really fun. So,
and it's not difficult. You want to make a nice little hopping action. I'll tell you what, another little inside trick. I'll take bucktail jig, any of those, and I thin them out. I mean, I trim them down to where they're not as wide. The reason is, you know, to trim the bucktail back is I get a little longer cast. I don't get quite as much wind resistance. And with our spooky fish over here on the East Coast, that's a good advantage for us. Just get that extra little distance.
A little extra never hurt anything. Well, I know.
Go ahead.
I apologize for not talking a whole lot. I've been eating Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, yeah, now you make it feel bad.
He probably heard that I had Girl Scout cookie ice cream last night. That's probably the reason why he went and got him some Girl Scout cookies.
I bet that's what it was. I bet you.
One of the things, too, I wanted to mention, Alan, to our listeners, if you get an opportunity, I know you're over on our website looking at our podcasting and our radio show, but if you get an opportunity, you can go over to iTunes now and pick us up. We've got about 58, 59 shows over on iTunes, and make sure you hit the link there so you could get signed up where they can let you know when new shows come out.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with it, you go on to the iTunes store specifically in your iTunes and just type in Awesome Fishing. You can download Awesome Fishing to your iPod and take it with you now. And getting high tech, man, it's kind of scary.
Hey, Keith, what do you think is going to happen this year as far as the cobia run over there on the East Coast? Do you think we're going to have a good year, or depends upon weather?
Well, we had a great year last year. I got over 100 cobia last year. And I don't think that, but, you know, a lot of people are surprised in that I didn't get very many of those during the, quote, cobia run. You know, we have cobia. You can catch a cobia literally any month of the year over here. However, there are certain times there tends to be more of them, and there's certain times when we call the run. What's really happening there is they're running closer to the beach in a migration pattern. But we will have some that hang around all year out there. And what I think is going to happen in the real migration pattern is our water is really cold. I mean, it's colder than it usually is this time of year. So despite all of what we hear about climate change, right now our climate change in this year is cold. So I suspect it's going to push back what would normally be happening this week or next week to the end of March, you know, before we really start seeing much happening. And it'll take some of the warm southeastern winds that blows that warmer water in, and also it tends to blow in cover and plankton and all kinds of stuff that brings our bait fish in, and then the big fish are really following those on up. And I suspect, and my theory is, and from a lot of the guys I talk to also, we're all thinking that it's going to be late this year.
Okay, due to all this cold front stuff.
Yeah, now, I tell you what, that could be really good for us, because traditionally, when it starts running like that, our biggest issue is getting out. We have spring winds that are blowing like crazy, and it seems like it's always, oh, man, it's got to be good out there, but you can't get out there. Well, this year, if it goes a little late, then we have a better chance of having some calmer weather and having more days with calm weather, because it gets closer to our summer pattern, and we actually may end up having a very good spring cobia run, albeit just slightly late.
Well, yeah, Captain Keith and Captain Keelan, due to technical necessity, we're going to have to stop the segment for a minute. But y'all pick up the part two just above us here, and we'll be right back.
When it comes to products that make fishing easier, the captains on Awesome Fishing Radio are pretty picky. So it's really no surprise that when they could fish with any jig head they want, they choose the one created by fishermen for fishermen. They choose hookup lures. Developed by Captain Hank Brown of the Florida Keys, these jig heads are designed to ride with the hookup to entice fish with a natural bait-like movement. And with a variety of colors and styles to choose from, hookup jigs have fast become a go-to lure for all the awesome fishing captains. And not only do they catch fish, they're a worthwhile investment in quality. Using durable mustad, Duratin, and stainless steel hooks, Hookup Lures offers not only jig heads, but quality bucktail rigs as well. They even have a fine assortment of high-quality offshore rigs that include ballyhoo rigs, gamefish rigs, ribbonfish rigs, barracuda lures, and trolling rigs. So if you want to use the same lures that Captain Keelan, Captain Steve, and Captain Keith use, then check out Hookup Lures at www.hookuplures.com. You'll soon find out why these jig heads are the lures that the guides choose when they need to put fish in the boat. And you'll be guaranteed some awesome fishing if you choose hookup lures.
Okay, Steve, cast over there at 12 o'clock right there. See the fish? See them?
How far?
Over there about 40 foot. Cast.
I can't see them. I'm not going to cast till
Steve,
I can see them.
Steve, put your Costas on right now. Those new 580 lenses. You've got to turn around and have them on where you can see these fish, man, or you're going to blow our day.
There they are. Watch this, Keelan. Here they go.
Man, great hookup, man.
Andy Thornell Company. Outdoor clothing, footwear, and equipment since 1945. Our Orvis Fly Shop is one of the best in Florida, with over 700 fly patterns for saltwater, bass, and panfish. And we have a few hundred trout flies when you head for the mountains.
And if you tie your own flies, we stock all of the materials and tools. Waders, vests, and the coolest fishing gadgets, including Boga grips and Calusa cast nets, are in stock. We wear fishing shirts year-round, and we have some of the best prices on Columbia, Ex Officio, and Under Armour shirts, including the new sunproof t-shirts and the buff headgear. And we realize that you cannot play every day, so we have some unexpected surprises, sport coats, dress shirts, and even neckwear for the gentlemen, and the ladies always find their way back to our custom jewelry shop. Andy Thornell Company, downtown Winter Haven, 299-9999, andythornell.com.
This is Captain Steve Nichols here of Awesome Fishing Radio, and along with Captain Keelan, our passion is fishing and helping others catch fish.
Captain Steve's right. We want to be on the water with our friends and family, not worrying about how we're going to get our boat there. That's why we rely on Rolls Axles trailers. Simply put, they're the most dependable trailer on the market.
That's because they're the only all-aluminum trailers made. They use only high-quality materials to produce a superior product. In fact, they have a patent on their aluminum springs.
And they're so confident that you're never have to replace them that they offer a lifetime warranty on the springs. By using a combination of aluminum and stainless parts, Rolls Axle has created the only trailer you'll ever need.
They're located at 702 Hitchcock Street in Plant City, and you can check them out on the web at www.rollsaxle.com
or give them a call at 1-888-ROLLS-52. That is 1-888-765-5752. Make sure you told them that you heard about them on Awesome Fishing Radio.
Finally, a magazine published just for anglers who fish the Indian River Lagoon, Coastal Angler Magazine, with columns, news, events, and forums especially designed for the Florida fisherman. You can also check out the Coastal Angler online at CoastalAnglerMagazine.com. The Coastal Magazine for the Florida fisherman. Coastal Angler Magazine. It's also the magazine for Awesome Fishing Radio. Coastal Angler, subscribe today. Just log on to CoastalAnglerMagazine.com.
And welcome back to Awesome Fishing Radio. And, you know, Alan, one of the things I really wanted to talk to Keith about is I know that Keith does a lot of fly fishing over on the East Coast, and he has some really unique fly patterns that sometimes you need to get him to come over and, you know, maybe possibly tie with your guys there at the fly tying class. But, Keith, how has fly fishing been going over there?
Oh, it's been great. You know, I really enjoyed doing it. I've fly fished over 30 years. I'm a certified fly casting instructor. And, you know, it's in fact, my uncles were some of the first folks to start up the Federation of Fly Fishers. And I'm a lifetime member and just, you know, been involved with fly fishing literally my entire life. I grew up in Idaho. My uncles were guides up there, fly guides. And I was even professionally selling flies at 12. So, you know, I just don't know a time in my life I wasn't fly fishing. And then over here, you know, of course, I've been here over 30 years and fly fishing here in Florida. And, you know, what's happening right now is our fish are concentrating on feeding on crabs. They're feeding what we call mud crabs. They look like a little fiddler crab. They're not a fiddler crab, but they're a little small crab and are about the size of your thumbnail or smaller, just real little. And a fly is an excellent imitation. So if you can fly cast, it is one of the very best ways of catching fish right now.
Uh-huh.
And so this week I've done real well on a little pattern. I'll tie one. It's on my website. In fact, it's called Captain Keith's Crustacean. I always do well on that this time of year. And then another thing I've been doing well on is it's nothing more than a little black puff. It's really, that's about all it is. Mm-hmm. It's a real simple fly. It uses a little calf tail and a little wrapping or a black fluff around the hook and little eyes, and that's about it. And, you know, all you need to do is do some type of round or oval dark imitation, and they're going to eat it. If it looks like a crab,
just they're feeding on it so voraciously right now, I guess.
Yep, that's what they're after. And if it's small and dark and moving across the bottom, that's what they're going to key on.
Match so, the hatch. Yeah,
that's right. And you can do that in a whole bunch of ways. You know, in this, because you're not trying to imitate the exact look of a crab or exact look of a shrimp. You know, if it's a dark, buggy-looking critter. If you make it look like a cockroach, it'll work because it's a dark brown thing. You know, you think about it, they're both kind of rounded looking. Well, if a fly kind of looks like that and it's along the bottom, that's what they're going to eat. They're looking for little round, dark things in the water.
Uh-huh. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a work of art. It just needs to be a good silhouette.
That's right. And in fact, most of my working flies, that's the way it is. And then you have to be able to cast. You do need to be able to get out there at least 50, 60 feet and present your fly quickly. Practice on how to get your fly out there in 10 seconds.
Oh, gosh.
That's important. That
10 seconds seems like a lot to me. That's
10 seconds is you mean as that's too short or that's too long a time?
No, I think people ought to be able to cast quicker than that.
Oh, that's a total maximum. In other words, I get clients from all over the world that come to me, you know, and want to fly fish, and I'll watch them do 8 false casts before they can even get 40 feet. Well, 10 seconds is long gone by then.
Yeah, you probably don't even see the fish anymore.
You need to be able to load up that rod, get 1 or 2 false casts, and be able to shoot it out there.
Yeah, you know, I have a theory on false casts too, Captain Keith. If I cast perfectly 95% of the time, which is not correct, but if I did, every time I make a cast, that's another 5% chance that I'm going to screw up that cast. So after 10 false casts, there's a 50% chance I'm not going to get that fly on the fish, just from statistics. So fewer false casts for me, I'm going to do better.
They'll see you moving around. I mean, in every aspect, you need to be able to double haul, get that line out there, and be able to shoot that quick. It's a key factor in our fishing over here. So make sure anybody's listening to that wants to fly fish, practice that. Well, that's a good thing to be able to do.
Yeah, you know, something else is I love the bluegill and bass fishing in the, you know, in Central Florida lakes here. And I learned to quick cast to chase redfish and Mosquito Lagoon. And it's the same technique that you'd use for Bahamas bonefish. It's the same technique for tarpon and Boca Grande.
Absolutely.
And now I am just so used to making just 2 false casts. That's how I fish. My brother always said to me, the longer the lure's in the water, the more fish you're going to catch. So, and it kind of applies to this false cast, too. So I just enjoy quick casting and having as few false casts as possible. It's just a habit.
That's one of the things when folks get on my boat that I see the most that they're doing wrong, you know, is just... The other thing is, in order to get there, they will bring their line too close to the tip. They don't leave enough hanging out to be able to start loading it up. And when they're stripping it in, they'll strip it in, and man, they'll strip it in to 2 feet from the tip. And now they got to work it all the way back out again. And it's, you know, some of these are just little things that over time you tend to do much better and learn. But it is important if you want to consistently catch fish.
You know, Keith, one of the things that I used to teach my clients, you know, when we were teaching them to fly cast, and it's one of the things that I think helped me in many times in casting, was a lot of people go out in the yard and they cast a fly rod and they practice. But what I did was I learned to put targets in the yard at different distances. And learn to pick up that line and fire to the next fish immediately, because sometimes you get a refusal and you need to have that line picked up and refire into another direction. And by having different targets in the yard, it kind of picks gives you the ability to learn distance casting. You know, it'd be just like archery hunting, you know, of a target that was at one distance but then another one at a further distance. And,
you know, Keelan, you're absolutely right. It's not just distance. It's accuracy, too.
Exactly.
In fact, it's really 3 things. It's distance, accuracy, and speed, and is in how fast you can get it to the fish.
You know, I've seen so often, too, when you tell the person there's a fish, by the time they get through the false cast, they're behind the fish. You're not even in front of the fish. And by doing that and learning to pick up and be able to crank it out there again, in a different location, at a different distance, you do have an opportunity to maybe not, you know, screw the pooch there and mess up on it.
Yep. And if you have a good guide, they should be watching where your cast is going to go to and help guide you to the front of the fish. I had a gentleman last Sunday, had a beautiful day. He was an older gentleman, and he'd had some trouble on back surgery. And even though he knew how to cast, he started adjusting because of his back surgery. He had to settle him back down into a more a better casting. But once he got that down, able to direct him to the fish and, you know, and get it in front of fish. He got his first redfish on the fly, had a blast, and, you know, we had a successful day. But a good guide should be able to help watch that cast and be able to go a little more right on when he does a false cast and say, there, let it fly right there and get you to the fish or close to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, all of that practice means a lot in having a good day of fishing.
Oh, yeah. It makes a huge difference.
So, anyhow, tell me a little bit of, you know, what have you been catching on the fly over there? Mostly reds? Are you doing any trout? What's going on there?
You know, we're catching a few trout. I got one last week, I guess, was about a 5-6 pounder, real nice fish. And I'm seeing a few, but I'm not catching a lot. I think because the water's still cold. I mean, day before yesterday, it was still 57 degrees.
Now, were you using a crook? Go ahead.
But the what a shine, you know, the redfish and black drum. You know, there's a lot of black drum this year. This last couple of years, there's more black drum than we've had in the past. And I think if we take care of them, we'll continue to have them. But they are the ones that we're hitting. Now, I suspect when that water temperature comes up around, you know, and well into the 60s, then we're going to start seeing the trout come up more. Although there was a pretty significant kill. So in Mosquito Lagoon in particular, I think that there's not going to be as many trout as we usually have.
So you saw a trout kill over there from the cold fronts?
Oh, thousands and thousands. I had areas where I'd go into when we could count hundreds of trout that were all trophy-sized trout. I had one buddy who boga gripped one he found. It was 14 pounds. I went to an area where it was just, you could just see them sticking like sticks there, you know, dozens and dozens around me. There was not one of them under 6-7 pounds.
Man.
It seems like all the big ones.
I had not.
Yeah, all the big ones.
Okay. I had not heard of many of the trout getting killed over on the West Coast as much as the East Coast, you know, from what you're telling me.
It was areas, yeah, Lagoon. It was areas where you had an extensive flat. It was like they got caught up on the flat in the cold, like they would move up to the flat to warm up and then got caught and it was too cold for them. I didn't see as much of it on the river, but I think there was still a significant kill there. All of the snook that we built up into the lagoon system up there, we'd had a pretty good little snook fishery up around Holliver Canal and all around. It had built up over the years since the last freeze, and that's all gone. It took out all the snook along, and I suspect, and I saw dead snook down around Coco and stuff too. I think all of that really got hurt. But it did affect the big trout. It didn't seem to affect small trout for some reason. I was not seeing as many small trout, mostly big ones.
Well, you know, same thing on the snook from the West Coast. We seem to have a lot of large fish that passed away. But, you know, a lot of the smaller ones did survive. And I heard a report the other day that I think it was Moat Laboratories, Marine Laboratories, actually was able to pick up some of the big breeder snook and you know, to actually help with their fishery as far as reproducing, you know, a bunch of babies and things.
Well, we certainly need all the help we can get right now.
That's for sure. So, anyhow, when do you think you're going to start seeing your cobia start showing up? Right after the cold
front? I really think it'll start up at the end of March and start moving into April. Now, and it's pretty typical that that's what would happen normally on the Gulf Coast I used to, you know, captain out of the Fort Walton Beach area and Panama City area. And we'd start seeing them around that time. And I think, and that's further north. And I think in this case on our shore, what we're going to see is just, you know, a couple weeks behind is all. And that's, and I suspect we start seeing them decently at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm kind of waiting to see them start showing up. I know that we had a few during the cold snaps around the power plants and things like that, but that's nothing like our springtime, you know, cobia migration over there on the East Coast.
Sure.
So,
and it should be some good ones. You know, we had some good ones last year. If it was anything like last year, it'll be a good year.
Yeah.
And we had great kings last year, too. I got my biggest king ever last year, the 60-pounder. So, you know, there's some – we really had a good year, and hopefully it'll keep up that way.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I hope to, that you keep us in touch and let us know when the fish – when the kings and the cobia are coming in. Maybe we could actually get over there, do a show with you, and talk about what's happening and how we're catching them and what, you know, what all's going on. So
you betcha.
Anyhow, that would be fantastic. So, hey, Keith, question. Have you ever tried throwing a gulp to a cobia?
No, but most – but, you know, I'm sure they would eat it. The thing is that usually I've got a live bait right there or a jig.
Yeah.
You know, I like a nice 1 ounce jig that's in a bucktail jig and a white and a chartreuse. That's one of my favorites. So a lot of times I'll have that on, it's one of my reasons as a favorite is to get you sit there. You know, it doesn't have to do anything, and boy, you just whip it out to show them, boom. So, you know, I'm sure gulp and stuff would work, but the truth is you don't need to get that fancy.
Yeah. Okay.
We call them the brown clowns for a good reason, man. They'll pop up around the boat. They're, a lot of times they're not real picky, and if they are, feed them a live bait, and they'll usually eat it.
Yeah. Well, I loved using my bucktail hookup lures for them and putting a rubber worm on the back like an eel and tipping it with a little piece of shrimp, and it's almost like they can never refuse it.
Yeah, the whole smorgasbord.
And you know, I'll use the same hookup. You know, I have it ready to go all the time, and of course I'm out the day after day in that time of year with it, and it just hangs there and on my rod, and when I see one, boom, flip it out there to them, and away we go. Sure. You know, Keelan, when we're talking about those cobia, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize, and one of the reasons I catch so many, is they think you have to go cobia fishing, when the truth is what I really do is a lot of just live baiting and watching as I go. I'm always paying attention for cobia.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they're there.
Yeah, exactly. I found that out there myself. You could be fishing for other species, and it's like, oops, look at that over there. Let's go throw a lure to him. And, you know, what we found a lot of times just keeping that jig in there ready on a rod, that you just break a piece of shrimp, put it on there, and fire it at them. And, you know, it's like from what I've seen, it's pretty easy fish to catch.
Yeah, it can be really easy. But the biggest trick as an angler is to watch.
Yeah. I was fixing to say easy to hook up, not always catch.
True.
But, anyhow, but, you know, Captain Keith, we enjoy you coming on with us, spending some time with us. I know that doing it through the cell phones has seriously benefited us now, a lot less time of having to drive from one point to the other and being able to have the convenience, not spending so much in fuel costs, too, being that it used to take you probably close to an hour and a half to get to the studio. So, you know, we're glad that you were able to cut.
Due to technical difficulties, we're going to close the show a little bit early. I'd like to thank our guest, Captain Keith Cabflash. He has been a great supporter of Awesome Fishing Radio over the last couple of years, and he's always full of valuable information. If you'd like to find out how to contact us directly, click on the website option if you're listening on iTunes, or go to awesomefishingradio.com. And send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. Just remember, Captain Keelan always says the next best thing to fishing is talking about fishing. Awesome Fishing Radio would like to thank our sponsors, Andy Thornell Company, Costa Del Mar Sunglasses, Malibu Kayaks, Mudhole, Rolls Axle, and Hookup Lures.